Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
WEEI Afternoons, and that was T. Higgins talking about his four-year deal that he signed to stay with the Bengals. Fitzy, I know you like to roll around on the social medias. I believe on the social media sometimes they say, who wants to tell him? Because upon further review...
What happened?
Not sure it's really a four-year deal. It looks a lot more like a two-year deal that basically isn't really any more than if he had played on the franchise tag this year and the franchise tag next year.
So that's really all he should have done in the first place, is just kept taking the tags until it was it was time to move on.
It guarantees him for next year that even if he gets hurt, because say he blew out his knee this offseason, this season, then they probably wouldn't tag him next year. So there's a little bit of security, but not – this is a true – when people roll their eyes at NFL contracts and values and all these things, this is a little bit of an eye roll contract. And
why would he sign it then? If his agent is the same agent as Ja'Marr Chase, did the guy like, all right, listen, Ja'Marr, we'll get yours done. Don't worry, we'll get T here just to make Joe happy for a year or two. But don't worry, you're priority one. You're my number one A kid.
Yeah, Dimble?
Are you guys implying that T. Higgins did not understand this part of his contract when he signed it?
I don't know. I may be insinuating that he got schnookered a little bit or something.
It's the agent's job to not get hoodwinked, bamboozled, schnookered, etc.
Yeah, but what if the agent was like trying to keep Ja'Marr Chase happy by keeping his number two there so they could win and maybe... I don't know. I'm just saying. In the old show, we used to do sniff tests, and this is a little... And it could just be that Joe Burrow truly has it. We've talked about that. Maybe he used his Jedi Joe Burrow mind tricks to kind of keep it all together. He got the Bengals to do something that a lot of people thought they wouldn't. Mike Brown, he's the cheapest owner in all of sports. No chance they're signing one of those guys. Never mind both of those guys, this and that. And they did it. They found a way to get it done. They keep the band together, and now maybe they'll compete for a Super Bowl.
They might, but I got to tell you that AFC North could get a little more competitive now that Aaron just paid a visit to the Steelers.
Yeah. That is such a weird...
That's a strange match, I got to say. It really, that would be so... Tomlin and Rodgers have professed their love of each other before, so I guess this was always meant to be.
It almost makes me wonder, Mike Tomlin has always openly talked about, as a coach, if a player has a strong personality or whatever, that's on me. You know, that's my job to deal with that and figure out a way. It's almost like he wants the greatest challenge. He's worked his way... Give me George Pickens, give me DK Metcalf, and hell, give me Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback, and I'll show you just how good a coach I am. Like,
give me no good starting running back. Give me no good starting quarterback. Give me no long-term plan. I'll do it.
And I'll show you I'll still, well, I guess go
finish
500.
10-7.
Yeah, go 500, not win a playoff game, but not have a losing season. No, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting, some of these wide receiver movements, and it's also interesting what these mock drafts are starting to do, Fitzy. And I don't know if you've noticed, but trading has become cooler in these mock drafts of late.
Was there a moratorium on mock draft trades until this week? Because up until like middle of this week, it was just all the same. Like, oh, really? Will Campbell. Wow. Oh, Travis Hunter. You don't say. And now all of a sudden, there's trades galore. Like Warren Sharp had one yesterday that had the Pats trading out. I couldn't have hated its face more. Like, if honestly hate was a planet for that draft, I would be Jupiter. It
so
sucked.
The draft you're talking about, Warren Sharp had them trading down with the Panthers. The Panthers trade up to take Abdul Carter. The Patriots get two extra third round picks, one this year and one, I believe, next year. And they take Will Campbell at, I believe, seven or eight. Somewhere in there they get Will Campbell. They're short-armed. Yep. Left tackle slash maybe a guard, Ted Johnson, hated player. So you wouldn't do that?
I don't need a guard right now, Andy. I don't need a guard. I need
but what
a tackle.
If he's a tackle?
But what if he's not?
Oh, speaking of which, probably could have done this off air, but get your boy Matt Light on. Why don't we talk to Matt Light about being a short-armed left tackle? He's an expert in the area.
Done deal. We'll top of next week.
Yeah, Monday or Tuesday, let's talk to Matt Light about his short arms because... Dante Scarnecchia uses him as the example. You know, they even considered moving him, and then he went to the Patriots Hall of Fame and protected Tom Brady through half of a dynasty with those poor little T-Rex arms, right?
Oh, okay. I mean, there probably would be no better local or regional former Patriot slash champion to speak to on said very subject.
Okay, so let's put that in the books. But so you're a no, and I'm a no on this too, because what did I say in my 3-point stance? If Abdul Carter is there at 4, I'm not trading out unless, I mean, I'd have to get an absolute ransom. Although, I guess I do need to wait for his red flags to maybe come a little bit more clear. Not only the foot issue, the stress fracture, no surgery, what's he going to do? How long is that going to be an issue for? Is that going to scare some teams off? And then whatever Giardi was telling us, like, tow truck driver started it. He was just defending himself or whatever. I mean, that's a tough sell.
I've never been in a fight with it. I don't really just get combative with anyone, but a tow truck driver?
I could see how it could happen. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I can be a bit of a hothead. And if somebody was taking my new truck and I go out there and I, like, maybe it escalates a little bit. And I'm not going to be proud of myself afterwards, but, you know, it can happen. We all have lines. We all have tempers. Anyway, so we're out on the Warren Sharp trade down.
Out.
From 4 to get Will Campbell. How about this one from our buddy Phil Perry over at NBC Sports Boston?
Uh-huh.
He has the Patriots selecting Travis Hunter with the number 4 overall pick, which you'd say, hey, yeah, that's everybody does.
I have on pretty good authority that he is very high on the Patriots draft boards. Very, very, very high.
I don't love him. But anyway, forget that.
Why not? Wait, hold on. Why not?
Because I don't know what he is, and I don't know that he's good enough at either job to warrant the number 4 overall pick. I'm not sure he's a superstar corner. I'm not sure he's a superstar wide receiver. And I think his best asset is that he plays both ways, and I don't think he can play both ways in the NFL at that level.
Love a wide receiver who had prolific stats in college football? Yes, I know he didn't exactly play in the SEC. He played a lot of cornerback as well, and does that or does that not give him an upper hand or an advantage at wide receiver? Like, oh, he's a really good wide receiver who also is a corner, so he can think like a corner and therefore has an upper hand in a lot of matchups.
That could be perceived as an advantage 100%. The other advantage that I will accept this as a theory and a projection, if you just ask him to play wide receiver, he's going to be better at it because he's going to practice it more. He's going to be a better route runner. He's going to have more energy. If you take away 60 snaps a game, doesn't that mean the other 60 snaps should be played at a higher level?
Should be that much more dynamic. Right? What if I told you he plays 45 snaps at receiver and you have him in there on a couple third downs and got to have it plays at corner because you need a third corner?
If you need it, okay. Emergencies, the way Troy Brown and Julian Edelman and others did. Emergencies, break glass, okay. He's behind the glass, rip him on out and put him out there. But I think if you draft him 4 overall, I need to ask him to be an expert. And I know we're in a world where Shohei Ohtani has broken the mold and changed the way we think about certain things and things of that nature.
He's pretty good. He is doing more hitting than pitching now. We have to remember that.
Well, because of the injury. I think they eventually will get him back on the mound on a more regular basis.
They kind of don't need him. They have all the pitchers.
That is true. They kind of don't need him. But maybe as Jonathan Jones told us, maybe Travis Hunter can be a two-way player in the NFL because it's a softer league with less hitting and all these things. And maybe he truly is a unicorn just like Shohei Ohtani and can do that. I think if you draft him 4, you draft him with a primary position in mind where you want him to focus and become a true superstar, an expert. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing he would also embrace wide receiver for what we just talked about, the money. Even though cornerback contracts are growing, they're not growing at the same rate as wide receiver contracts that are now $40-plus million a year.
That's true.
You're lagging $10 to $15 million behind for the most part. You're just knocking on the door of 30, where a lot of guys make 30 at receiver.
What happens?
And 40
now we have to go into Ohtani'sville, Andy. If he comes in and he ends up being a top 20 receiver, but then they play him a decent enough amount that you start considering one of the better corners. I'm telling you, again, my fear regarding Travis Hunter is that Cleveland takes him 2 overall because they so desperately need everything.
They could.
Yeah, even at corner.
Okay. But So Phil's mock draft has the Patriots taking Hunter at 4. You'd be excited. Lots of Patriots fans would be excited. We have a couple hosts on this station, namely Christian Arcand with his jersey, his Travis Hunter jersey, and the other buff sniffer, Ted Johnson. They would be quite happy with Travis Hunter. I like
this. You ever called Ted a buff sniffer when he's been in the studio?
I don't think I have. I prefer to do it when he's not here, just in case he doesn't care for it. He's a large man. I don't know if he has a temper, but I don't want to find out. The back end of the first round, Phil Perry has the Patriots trading back into the first round.
Phil, yes.
24th overall.
For?
The Connerly tackle out of Oregon, the kid who got his butt
whooped.
That
is my draft, Phil, you handsome son of a bitch.
So you like that, and that would cost the Patriots their second round pick, number 38, the 77th pick, and a future fifth round pick to move up to 24. But you would leave the first night of the draft with wide receiver filled, Travis Hunter, left tackle filled, Connerly. What the hell's his first name? Josh, maybe?
Josh.
John?
Josh. Andy, that, you know the meme of the guy from Futurama with the money, with the cash in his hand, and says, take my money,
yeah,
please. Yeah. You
Dream draft?
I can't quickly enough use a second, one of my thirds, and a future fifth to jump up and get my tackle. If Arcand and I are doing the WEEI Draft Night Show, and we're talking about Travis Hunter and a future left tackle coming out of the first round, I mean, I don't you dare tell me that 10 wins wouldn't be on the table. Don't you dare tell me we're not all the way back. Don't you dare tell me I'm not allowed to be happy.
Oh, that night, I want that attitude. Absolutely. You know my rules. That night and then straight through August, I want that attitude. You filled left tackle. You got a young wide receiver. You got the Heisman winner. You got the best athlete in the last 10 years, a blue chipper, the whole thing. Now, I would still have some questions, but this draft, I'd sign off on. I don't know if it would work in the long term. I don't know, but
yeah,
you would, and you're drafting for need. Let's be clear. The idea of drafting best player available, I guess you can sell that at 4, but if you trade back in for a tackle, you're drafting for need. You're looking to check off the boxes on your roster and get yourself.
But, again, how many draft people have told us the picks from 4 through 12, 12 through 40 are kind of all the same? There's not like a...
I don't believe that.
All right, you know what? Fine. You could also, Andy, you could sell me on this. You could sell me on drafting Abdul Carter at 4 if, lo, by the grace of Zod, he were to fall to there, and then trading back into the tail end of the first round, except this time you get the receiver you want. Like, get Ibuka from Ohio State. Let's say you have good intel. He's going to go right at the top of round 2.
Yep.
Get back in there and get him and make sure you have your guy. It would probably cost you a little bit less. And then now priority number 1 on day 2 becomes figuring out which left tackle you need to either move up for or target in the top of the 3rd round.
Or maybe your other plan came to fruition and you signed Tyron Smith for the first 9 games of the season and you only need an 8 game tackle in the 2nd round. He doesn't
have
to play
for me.
The full year.
I'm in.
No, I like these ideas. I do think we talked about it at the top of the hour. It is funny how these cycles go with mock drafts, and I do wonder, like, do all these guys, are they all some member of a club? And it's like, well, the first couple mock drafts will do the obvious. Then we'll start to throw a couple curveballs. Then we'll start to throw a couple trades. Is there a timeline in the mock draft process as you work your way through March and then into April toward the draft? Because it certainly feels like it. Your boy, Deuce, Mike Dussault down at Patriots.com is like, I'll get people to pay attention to my mock draft now. Running back, Ashton Jeanty. I feel like there's a little bit of a manipulation of us here as clickbait people and getting us to read and click on your drafts. But I would accept Phil Perry's. I don't know if I love it.
Might be my favorite thus far, really.
Okay. The Fitzy stamp of approval on Phil Perry's mock draft. You get yourself love a it. Wide receiver and Hunter, Connerly a tackle, 2 first-round picks. The draft party will be buzzing. The WEEI draft show will be buzzing. Hart Johnson will be buzzing at Lambeau Field for the show the next day on the Friday. Everything will be a buzz. We'll forget about the buzz with the Red Sox. It'll be buzz for the Patriots if they just take Phil Perry's plan. Our plan here on WEEI Afternoons is to keep talking a little bit of Patriots. We haven't really mentioned the is a catcher an infielder topic lately. So if you want to join that conversation, which was very active early in the show, we'll get to that. Up next in the 4:30 slot, Lou Merlone. And I think they used to call him Angry Lou. I think we're going to get Happy Lou today. I think this is a Happy Lou. He's got the broadcast tomorrow, 1 p.m. here on WEEI. The Red Sox are rolling towards the regular season. I think Happy Lou Merlone will join us at 4:30 here on WEEI Afternoons. But right now we have Dan Ball and everything that's trending.